Today I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll try to move quickly, try to shave it down a little bit so we can get this 45-minute sermon in the next... Just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you'd like to read along, I'm going to be beginning with verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. This is my newest preaching Bible, and it's an ESV, English Standard Version. So you might have an NIV, be a little different, but read along with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Apostle Paul and his companions who, in spite of affliction and persecution, they continued on. You comforted them. You lifted them up. And you helped them endure the sufferings of standing up for the truth of the gospel. Father, today as we open your word, speak to us. Open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm completing the series that we've been in called The Bible Doesn't Say That. And here's a phrase that maybe you've said or you've heard somebody say, God won't give you more than you can handle. And maybe you've heard someone say, well, God doesn't give us more than we can handle, so He must think I'm really strong right now. Maybe you've said that or heard someone say that. Now, as we break down this phrase, it says that God won't give you. That's a big assumption. It's assuming that every suffering, every difficulty, every tragedy, every trial is from God, and it's not. When a child is born with a defect, is that given by God? When a marriage reaches a failing end, is that given by God? When someone loses their job and there is no money to pay the bills, is that given by God? When a storm tears through a town, is that given by God? When a devastating diagnosis is given, is that from God? The Faith Builders Bible Journey class has been praying for a 7-year-old, Maggie Bowles. Her and her daddy were in a car accident. And we were given word this past week after 2 tests that the brain activity tests were not good. So now this family will have to continue on without their 7-year-old daughter. Was that given by God? And I answer with a resounding no. As we looked at suffering last week, we looked at the life of Job, that Job had it all. And Satan came before God in the throne room, and God said to Satan, well, consider my servant Job. What do you think of his faithfulness? And Job said, of course he's faithful. He has it all. He has great wealth, all this land and his livestock, and it all flourishes. He has a wonderful family and great health. Of course he's going to be faithful to you. And God says, no, his faithfulness is not contingent on all this. And Satan says, well, let me put him to the test. So God allows him but places restrictions. And as they go through the test, the restrictions are slowly removed, other than he could not take the life of Job. So Job's children are wiped away. His crops, his livestock, all his wealth gone, and his health is gone. But he remains faithful and true to the Almighty God. He doesn't understand it all, and he's trying to make sense of it, but he still is faithful. The suffering was caused by Satan. God certainly allowed it, but he didn't give it to him. Perhaps you've asked the question, why, God? Why did you let this happen? Or how could there be a God when this kind of tragedy takes place? And sometimes we get into tricky situations and it comes up all of a sudden. President Ronald Reagan used to tell a story, and he would say it was true, that there was a fire south of Los Angeles in the hills of Palos Verdes. And an editor of the newspaper called one of his photographers and said, I need you to get a photograph of the fires quickly and get back here so we can get it in the next paper, the next issue. And so the photographer got in his car, he raced to a small airport, and there, sure enough, was a small plane at the end of the runway. He jumped in the plane, said, let's go. When they reached about 5,000 feet, the photographer looked at the pilot and said, okay, head to the fires. I got to get a picture of this so I can get back to the paper immediately. There was silence from the stunned pilot, who looked at him and said, you mean you're not the instructor? Pearlie's been there. He's been a pilot and an instructor. He's done all that. I'm sure there were no surprises, right? No surprises. All of a sudden, life changed. The situation changed. And for us, our life may be going on smoothly, and then all of a sudden, in an instant, it changes. So when it comes to trouble in this world, we find that God is compassionate, and He comforts us in our trouble. Verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. You see, God is there. He doesn't give us the troubles. We looked at Job and how he had all this difficulty in his life. And last week we also acknowledged that when we live in a planet with billions of people, all who make bad choices. And you think about the history of our world from the beginning, from the moment that Adam and Eve made a bad choice, there have been billions of people that have been on this planet all making wrong choices. And the product of living in a world where we're all making wrong choices, where we have free will, is we have struggles and difficulty and suffering, and it spills over. Our bad choices spills over onto one another. This is a product of living in a fallen world, that there will be disease, there will be tragedies, there will be terrible events because of our brokenness, our sinful nature. Fanny Crosby wrote more than 6,000 hymns. And at 6 weeks old, she developed an illness that left her blind. And sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. Well, there was a preacher that said something to her that he shouldn't have said. He said, I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when He showered you with so many other gifts. And she quickly replied, do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, It would have been that I should be born blind. Why? Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. At the age of 95, almost 90 years, she lived blind. She passed into glory and saw the face of Jesus. Now, what makes a woman who's been blind from the time she was 6 months old state that she would request that at birth if she could? Faith. Sight beyond the visual. Hope. Trust. Comfort given by God. Philippians 4, 6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, it's easy to present your requests to God, don't you think? It's easy to present requests. The hard part is not being anxious. I watched a couple of little sermon clips this morning, just random clips. And one of them I came across, the preacher said, there are 365 scriptures on fear and worry. There are 365 scriptures in the Bible on fear and worry. And he said, did you realize with 365 days in the year that God gave us a verse for every day of the year? It tends to be our nature to fear, to be afraid, and to worry. Even David, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 42:5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Even David was depressed, downcast, afraid, disturbed, anxious. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. What do you worry about? What are you worrying about right now? A child? A grandchild? Mother? A father? A job? A debt? A diagnosis? An upcoming test? What kept you awake last night? Paul and his companions found compassion when they surrendered it to the Heavenly Father. And they found compassion because the trouble they faced was beyond their ability to endure. Verse 8, for we did not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength. So when we consider the phrase, God will not give you more than you could bear. The Apostle Paul had more than he could bear. He said it was more than we can bear on our own. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. I think this is where this whole idea and concept comes from. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now keep in mind, God doesn't do the tempting. He is not giving you the temptation. The temptation you face is also nothing new. It's common to mankind. No matter what temptation you face, it's been faced before and is being faced by others today. But never forget that God is for you. He said, bring your troubles to me, all your heavy laden and burden. Because God doesn't want us to face difficulty alone. You see, God plus trouble equals good. Trouble plus God equals good. That no matter what we face, no matter what we struggle with, no matter what comes our way, when we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we keep our trust on the Almighty God, we continue to do what is right and trust in Him, He will take these tragedies and turn it into something good. And the Scriptures are filled from beginning to end where there have been troubles. When God has been involved, it has turned out for good. Maybe you can relate to a morning prayer for help that I came across the other day. Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, been nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on, I'm going to need all the help I can get. Maybe you can relate. But we also learn in this scripture that in trouble, put your hope in the one who can deliver you. Verse 10, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. Trouble plus God equals good. I worked on this sermon, was putting it together, working on it on Monday. And I had completed the first part about what do you worry about. And Tuesday we were traveling, Becky and I went on a mini vacation. And she was sharing with me a post that Angie Vaughn had written. And I said, contact Angie and see if I can share that, because it goes right along with what I had just prepared yesterday. And so with her permission, I share her post. Okay, God, you got my attention. I saw at least 6 posts yesterday that dealt with worry and stress from a biblical standpoint. Thanks to those who posted them. I, like many others, I'm sure, tend to worry about things. Lots of things. My prime worry time tends to be any time between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. But it is certainly not just in those times. That's when my brain switches into high gear and decides it's time to think of ways to solve all of my problems and the problems of the world. I've had several nights in a row like that here lately. It's usually the same worries over and over. Finances, and I know I'm not alone with that one, health, my business, my kids, futures, etc. The thing is, I know what the Bible says about worry. I know God is my provider and His resources are limitless. I know that my worry does nothing to actually solve my problems. And honestly, I am fully aware that my problems are nothing compared to what some are up against. The older I get, the more I've come to realize that worry is a choice and a habit. Just like any other habit, it takes hard work and determination to break it. It also shows a lack of trust. Like God isn't big enough to take care of things. I make Him so small sometimes. So I'm trying something new. Every time I start to worry, I will focus on what I'm thankful for. The many blessings that surround me and were provided by Him in the first place. It takes me from worry to a sense of peace because I'm reminded that God is working everything out in His way, in His time. The devil has many ways of getting into our heads and stealing our joy. Worry is just one of those ways. But I'm choosing to trust in my provider and truthfully letting go and giving God complete control is the best feeling ever. Trouble plus God equals good. And I think we can all relate to that post. Thank you, Angie. This morning I received a message. It was a post by Aljay Law of Central India Christian Mission, another mission that we support. Pastor Sultan Masih in Ludhiana, Punjab, India, was killed last night at 8:30 as he has taken a strong stand to protect Christians. Please pray. Share and let your political leaders know how Christians are being attacked regularly in India. We often call L.J. Law the modern-day Apostle Paul, working in India, planting churches all over India, supporting those churches, encouraging those churches. And they are suffering just like the Apostle Paul talked about. A suffering that we don't understand or comprehend because of the ease that we have it in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Did God give them that? Well, I know we know he gave him a great reward. That when he closed his eyes, he opened them and saw Jesus face to face. We know God welcomed him and lavished him with the glories of heaven. But what about his family and friends and the church and the Christians that are suffering and being persecuted and just lost a dear friend? God plus trouble, it's going to work out for good for the people in India, because they will trust and they will continue to serve and they will not give up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the faithfulness of L.J. Law, the many in India who are standing up for Christ at the risk of their lives. An example, we know, just read of this pastor in India who just lost his life, standing up for the truth. We know that in this suffering that the people there are going through, that you will be faithful. You will work it out for your good. And we trust. Father, help us to trust in the same way, to lay our burdens down, to surrender it all to you. Forgive us for continued worry and anxiety that we carry when all along you want to carry it for us. Help us, Lord. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.